Hi, my name is Sydney, and I am so excited to have yet another anime fan in my clutches for today's episode.
Hi, I'm JV. Lavender Hatchet is another name I go by on the internet. I am Lavender Hatchet 13 on AO3 and Twitter, I believe. And I write fanfiction predominantly for Chainsaw Man. I've been writing fanfiction for a couple years now, and it's had a really significant impact on my life, so I'm very excited to talk about that today.
Yay! I'm so excited. Like I said, we have another anime fan fiction writer on the podcast today. It is almost like the bread and butter of Canonically Incorrect at this point, and an incredibly interesting one today, one that has written fan fiction for some of my all-time favorite animes, and some for animes that I've never watched before, which is my favorite kind of person to have a discussion with. She has written everything from Attack on Titan to Skate the Infinity, from college AUs to zombie AUs, from Hurt Comfort to bed sharing. She is the author of A Love Song in an Empty Room, I Know It's Hard to Tell, But I Think I Really Like You, and I Want to Grab Both Your Shoulders and Shake Baby. Welcome, JB. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Yeah. Wow. Like I said, I just told you this, but it makes me feel like I'm a celebrity, you know, those talk shows and things like that.
It's like always my goal of going into this is just like, I love talking to like other people. I love like hearing how like it makes them feel like official or like recognized in like their spaces, because you know, fan fiction is it's like a hobby skill. It's not one that, you know, is like generally shared with like a large amount of people. Like I know that I have just like a very small group of people that I talk to about my fan fiction reading and writing and the podcast and everything. So I always love it.
Yes, exactly.
So going into the episode today, I mean, I will just ask you what I normally ask everyone. So what is your relationship with fan fiction? How did you find fan fiction and how did you get started reading and writing it?
You know, that's a good question because I feel like I don't honestly have a very tangible instance that I can point to and say this is where I started doing X, Y, and Z. But I do have memories of being maybe about 12 years old on Tumblr. This is back in the Wild Wild West days of Tumblr. And I was very into, what was it, The Maze Runner?
Remember that. The book or the movie with Dylan O'Brien?
I think first the book and then the movie.
Yeah.
But I was very into that, and I started writing these little, I don't even know if you could call it full-fledged fan fictions, but these little kind of, maybe drabbles would be a more appropriate word. Mm-hmm. Started doing that on Tumblr account. I don't think it got any sort of traction at all.
Sure.
But I started to read fan fiction. I had a Kindle that there was some sort of cheat code thing you could do that made the Kindle do internet access.
Oh, so
I
had that. It's one of my favorite things when I come across like sometimes tweets on Twitter or whatever that people are like, I mean, they've pulled up AO3 on like their Nintendo Switches, on their Apple Watches, or the fridge.
It was like basically one of those types of things. So I started doing that. And then just over the years, obviously, I matured a little bit, you know, my tastes cultivated. Mm-hmm. So that I was able to access AO3 on, you know, phone and laptop and such. Yeah, being an adult now, it's great.
Using so AO3 in the way that it was meant to be.
Exactly. It's like big steps, maturity. Mm-hmm. Once I started doing that, maybe about like 2 years ago. Yeah, because it's 2024 now. That's crazy.
It is.
Woo-wee. Maybe about 2 years ago, I kind of started getting back into it at the encouragement of my sister. So I appreciate that a lot because I have always been really interested in writing. That's always been a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. It still is, but fan fiction has allowed me to sort of hone my skills, receive and implement feedback from a broader audience, and sort of transfer that into writing my own original fiction. That I think that sort of background or foundation has been really, really life-changing in terms of my own skills and confidence in my own writing. So I think one sort of begets the other, and I've sort of continued just to hone both those skills as I get older and as I mature, obviously.
Right. I mean, fan fiction is like a great place for that, just because like there is like no real pressure in having to like publish something on time or like even have it be perfect. I know for me, like in the peak of my fan fiction writing, I was so in my own head about like it needing to be perfect.
Yes.
Which like led to burnout, which is we're still going through the motions, but I really just like, I mean, people are gonna love your fan fiction like no matter what, right? Like even if it's not like the most perfect thing, and it's like you're really just, I mean, you're doing them a favor because they're like, I get to read something like so incredible, so amazing, my new favorite thing of all time. And that's definitely been something that I have been learning, like especially reading fan fiction, like for the podcast, where it's like, you know, I find a lot of things that are maybe not the like toppest of top quality, but I still have so much fun with them. I have the time of my life, and like learning that like that's all that really matters. And like, it doesn't matter that like maybe there are plot holes, you know, maybe maybe the dialogue isn't perfect, or maybe there's a typo, but like, who cares?
Right, exactly. I'm glad you said that, because I do really believe in the value and the empowerment of doing things poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's so much pressure, even on people who are hobbyists in whatever their field is, there is a lot of pressure to be quote unquote good at something in order to kind of earn the right to devote yourself to that, which I just think is so ludicrous and pointless. So I enjoy the liberation that comes with being a fanfiction author, because I really do think that it is liberating. I mean, even like you said, even in my own writings, like most of my fanfictions at this point are kind of old, and I feel like in the process of writing them, I've improved a lot.
Yeah.
When I go back and read them, I'm like, oh, I you know what? I don't believe in cringe. I'm a post-cringe type of person.
Absolutely. No such thing as cringe.
Exactly. So I'm not like, ew, cringe, but I'm like, okay, I see, you know, why I wasn't able to rectify this problem with the more advanced technique, whatever it is. Like, my most popular fan fiction, I started writing it, a year and change ago. Maybe 2 years ago, or something like that. But obviously, I have improved a lot since then. But it's still my most popular fanfiction and the one that people engage with the most. So that's also been interesting to see, kind of to speak to your point.
I mean, I definitely was the same, where I would look at older stuff, even stuff that never was published and was like wasting away in like a Google Drive document.
Oh, yeah.
And I would be like so mean to myself, and it would be like mean to like 14-year-old Sydney, right? Like the like little like teenager, preteen, who was like just starting to like creatively write. And I've definitely gotten nicer to myself, where like I look at myself with such kinder eyes of like, she was really doing it, she was putting in the work, she was doing so much, and I'm so proud of her.
Yeah, absolutely, but as you should.
So whenever we get someone who has a history with anime, who likes anime, who's writes fan fiction about anime, I really like to ask them about their history with it, because I feel like it is different than just like regular television shows or like American cartoons, especially if you live in the States, which a majority of our guests on the show are from the States.
Yep.
Where like anime, there's always like a, how did you get started with it? Like, what was the first one you watched? Like, how did you fall in love with it? Which is like, I feel a very different trajectory than some of the Western shows, because like that is just, you know, I feel like I can have that conversation with something like Super Hulock, just because it is so niche and so tangible of a subject. But I always like to ask people about like their history, like their long or short history with anime. Like, just like I said, like, how did you learn about anime? You know, what was your first anime? What was the anime that made you fall in love with like the medium and the genre?
Yeah, I feel like I might be a little bit of an outlier, actually, because I watched anime for the first time when I was a freshman in college, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, I grew up watching Studio Ghibli movies, but that's probably pretty mainstream in America, at least.
Yeah, but it's like a good, like a gateway drug, almost. Like, it's a good starting point.
Yeah, I still love it to this day. But yeah, I am American, which, honestly, I think anime is getting into the mainstream in America, if it isn't already. Like, I think it's pretty commonplace. But yeah, when I was a freshman in college, my friends were watching Attack on Titan, and I started to watch with them, and I was totally enamored. I totally fell in love with the story because it just, I feel that anime is really one of the best media for portraying science fiction and fantasy stories, of which I take an interest, because your disbelief is already sort of suspended due to the medium in which this information is being conveyed. So I think the experience, the engagement, is very different than a live-action show. So I really just sort of fell in love with that story of Attack on Titan, and that's still probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, anime, to this day. I just totally fell in love with the story, but I kind of wanted to see what else could be done with that medium. And I also enjoy anime as kind of a social tool,
Yeah,
just because, I mean, in college, I just graduated, so I'm not in college anymore. But when I was in college, it was one of those things where, you know, if you see someone with a sticker or a shirt or something like that, it's a really easy point of entry into a conversation mm-hmm. with a person. And people are very passionate about it. They have their opinions that they want to share with you. So I kind of became attracted to that as sort of this, I love stories in all mm-hmm. shapes and forms, and they really do have the power to connect people. So I feel like that was a kind of a natural extension for me of that concept.
Yeah. No, and anime is very, like, it's so wide in the sense that, like, the animation of anime is, like, so similar that even if, like, you see, as you said, like, a sticker or something of a show that, like, you don't necessarily watch, you're like, I know that you still watch anime. So, like, maybe there is a show that we have watched that is similar.
I think that's a really powerful thing, though. I think anything that's going to bring people together like that is something that I have to value a lot.
Yeah. You know? I've really enjoyed seeing where anime has come, like you said, like in the modern, where it's become more normalized and like more, there's more groups and people are more comfortable talking about it, because like I was definitely a person who like started watching anime in like middle school or something, and I probably said this story before, so I'm sorry to any listener who's heard this, but like my first instance of like learning about anime was watching like a top 10 saddest anime deaths video on YouTube. And there was one of the deaths that I was just like, oh, I'm really interested in that show. And that show was Clannad of all shows.
Wow.
So my very first anime was Clannad, which if you don't know, is just a wholly depressing show. Like, just so sad. And that was like my introduction to it. But like, I didn't really fall in love with it until I started watching Fairy Tale, which is a fantasy.
Fairy Tale, I forgot about Fairy Tale.
I wish I could forget about Fairy Tale. Like, it's taken up so much core interest of my life since I watched it. Like, I watched a good like 120 to 150 episodes before I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it's taking so much out of me.
I mean, that'll do it.
And then I watched like a lot of, I mean, I still watch a lot of like shoujo anime. Like, I noticed going through your AO3 that you have a lot of shonen anime, you know, like the Haikyuu's and the Full Metal Alchemist.
I do.
You have a couple comfort ones in there, like Skate the Infinity is a very modern, like, kind of calming anime.
Of course.
So are those like the shows that you gravitate to, like the shonen ones?
I would say so. Well, also as I get older, I feel like it becomes in some ways more difficult to connect and empathize with a shonen anime, just because, you know, when I started watching anime, I was a freshman in college, I was maybe 17 years old. Mm-hmm. So I think I had more in common, as now I'm out of college and things are different. I still enjoy it. But yeah, I say I generally gravitate more towards shonen anime, just because I am interested in, like I said, science fiction, fantasy, and action type of stories, which I feel like shonen offers more. I'll enjoy a romance, don't get me wrong. I'll enjoy a shoujo sprinkled in there, you know? I feel like you gotta have a balance. But definitely. Currently and historically, I would say, I do gravitate more towards a shonen.
I mean, I watch a lot because I introduced my sister to anime. So I have a younger sister.
Oh, no way.
And I introduced her to anime. And her first anime was Your Lie in April.
That's tough.
That's also an incredibly depressing anime. Yeah. And then I immediately showed her, like, Ouran High School Host Club after heal the hurt, almost
cleanse the spirit.
Yeah, which she like has become obsessed with. Like, she has all the manga now. She's read it through like 3 times. Like, she loves that show.
It's a good one. It's very comforting.
Oh my god, it's so good. But she loves romance. Like, she reads like a lot of romance novels. Well, I mean, anything we connect to. And when we were like in the height of watching anime, and we're slowly like getting back into it, because like I unintentionally took a break from it.
Me as well, yeah.
Mostly because, like, my brain has just been in a place where I have to, like, do things while watching a show, and I'll forget that I don't speak Japanese, and then, like, 5 minutes will pass by, and I'm like, oh, I have no idea what's happening.
You gotta find the good dubs.
You do, and I'm glad for, like, Hulu and Netflix and stuff, because, like, at least I know that they do have dubs.
Yeah. Some of them are not bad at all. I'm here to end the dub stigma.
I agree with you. Some of them are like, I think it's just because it's in a different language, therefore we are like, it's so big in our heads that we only, you know, English speakers, wow, the Japanese language, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I grew up watching dubbed anime. I think it's great. I have such a good time. I love recognizing voice actors that I've heard previously, and I'm like, you.
Yeah, one of my best friends, and she was my roommate in college, but she has the most uncanny knack for knowing first and last name, just clocking everyone within like the first 3 words of them speaking on screen. It really freaks me out. I actually don't like it at all.
It's like that's like a superpower. Like I think there's a bit of magic in the world, and I think everyone gets like a singular superpower, and I think that's your roommate's, that's her superpower.
Exactly.
Yeah. But so whenever my sister and I will watch anime together, she always like, we'll recommend, we'll be like, oh, do you want to watch this? Do you want to watch that? And every single time I recommend something, she'll go like, but does it have romance in it? And I have to like, look, I'm like, da 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 da. The only one that I've gotten her to watch that doesn't, which I wanted to ask you about because you have a very long list of animes, you know, very popular shonen ones, Attack on Titan, sure. Jujutsu Kaisen, Chainsaw Man, but you don't have My Hero Academia on the list.
That actually is a very interesting point that you bring up.
Yeah. Like, it was like, I was like, ooh, normally when I see and I speak to people who have a long backlist of animes, My Hero Academia is in the mix of Attack on Titan and Jujutsu Kaisen and even Haikyuu, you know, those kind of seem to go with each other. And it seemed like a, whoa, what? Like, there's a large oversight here.
Yes, yes, yes. So I have seen all of My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm.
I have not written a fan fiction about it.
Yeah.
I do enjoy reading some of the fan fictions, but I feel that it's challenging because the original source material, I don't feel like does a great job of kind of fleshing out the characters and making them distinctive in their own right. I don't know if you agree or disagree on that point, but I think there, with the writing of the original series, I think there is something to be desired in terms of the character depth, which for me is the bread and butter, the foundation of any fan fiction. Like, the characters are what inspires me to write a fan fiction, not the setting.
Okay.
I think some people are different in that, but for me, I have to see it. I have to see the potential.
Yeah.
So I feel like for My Hero Academia, the setting is really interesting. The characters are cool, but I feel like a lot of them kind of get brushed to the wayside just because the extensive cast is just so expansive that there are so many superfluous individuals involved, I suppose. So I haven't really engaged with that because I feel like in response to that, the fan base has created this sort of fanon.
Absolutely. That,
yeah, but it goes crazy for My Hero Academia. Like, the fan, I don't know. And then it's all these things that are just generally agreed upon by the whole fan base that were never, you know, mentioned within the original source, which is fine. Obviously, that's the point of fan fiction.
Yeah.
But then I feel like it's kind of a lot of pressure to live up to both this canon and then, not pressure, maybe that's the wrong word, but it's almost like you have two source materials that you're working on because you're basing it off of the actual show, but then you're also basing it off of other fan fictions that you've read or whatever the most popular fan fictions are.
Yeah, I have never thought of it that way, but I can absolutely agree with you on there, where especially at a fandom as large as My Hero Academia, like, I definitely, even only in, like, small subsections of the My Hero Academia, like, fandom, like, what really drew me to it was Hawks, which he comes in later in the show.
I loved him.
He took up so much of my life in the summer of 2020, and, like, he has such a soft spot in my heart, even if I don't feel the same, like, voracious fascination and, like, feralness to him as a character, like, whoo, man.
I love him. I have my water with me right now. It has a Hawk sticker on it. So
I love him.
He's the best part of the show, hands down. You know what? Yeah. The villains are way more interesting to me than the heroes in that show. And that's the other thing about my
Hero. You are not the only person to have said this before.
It's true.
Yeah, and I think I really like him, like Hawk specifically. I like, because, you know, but when I was watching the show, like, I kind of felt the same thing as you, where, like, no character really drew me in fully because, like, I mean, yeah, I guess I can see it now where, like, they're not really a full character just because there's so many of them. Like, you can't really make them a full character. You can kind of make them a half character and have the audience fill in what they want to for the other half. But when Hawks was introduced and his whole storyline of being, like, kind of an anti-hero, kind of on the villain side, kind of on the hero side. God.
He's so interesting. He has so much more complexity than, like, no hate, but Deku's just not really giving much.
No, Deku is definitely, it's a show in which, like, I mean, very few people have Deku as their favorite character. Like, so many other people, another character over the main character.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you kind of have to.
Yeah, but I feel like it's so out of the box, because for other big shonen shows like Naruto or Dragon Ball Z or One Piece, right, like, people generally gravitate towards the main character of Naruto or Luffy, you know? Where it's like, then Deku is like, yeah, but I like Bakugo better. Or like...
mm-hmm. Yeah, Bakugo's more interesting, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like I said, like, I'm a character person. Like, the character dynamics are the genesis of every fanfiction that I write. So if it's not... So if it's not giving much, if there's no layers to peel back, then right, there's no reason for me to try to expand upon that or delve into something new, a new offshoot character.
You have, like, plenty of others that, you know, shonen that you work with. And, I mean, the ones that at least I know, I mean, Fullmetal Alchemist is one of my favorite animes, like, of all
time. Me too.
Yeah. I mean, it's like my, It's not like my favorite anime, like my favorite anime, but when I'm talking to people and people are like, what's your favorite anime? I say Fullmetal Alchemist, just because it's the most, like, wide known. Haikyuu, obviously, like, I have a Haikyuu tattoo, like, that's how much I love.
Do you really?
I do.
Who is it?
So they're technically matching tattoos with Maya, that we got at the same time. Aww. So it is the school slogan for Nekoma. So it's the Japanese kanji for connect, and then it's a little cat with Kuro's hairstyle.
I love that. That's cute.
Yeah, and then Maya has the Japanese kanji for the slogan for Abo Josai, and then it has, like, leaves and vines around it because they're, like, trees. But, yeah, so, I mean, Haikyuu means so much. But then, like, so the one that you have... kind of gotten the most fame for, the most engaged with, is your Chainsaw Man fanfiction. And I have not gotten around to Chainsaw Man. I have not started watching Chainsaw Man. But I noticed that, as I said, you have written for a variety of fanfiction. I mean, I mentioned a couple, but Jujutsu Kaisen is another one. Attack on Titan, as you said. Skate the Infinity, Sasaki to Miyano. But this recent history that you have with Chainsaw Man, a lot of the other fandoms that you write for, you write 1, 2, 3 fanfics before moving on to the next fandom. But you've stuck around with Chainsaw Man for 11 fanfictions now.
Oh my god. This is like my rap sheet.
This happens a lot where people are like, they've never actually, like, gotten numbers, like, thrown at them.
I've never thought about this before.
They're like, I noticed, they're like, you know, from the bottom, it's like, oh, you've written, like, one fanfiction here, or, like, one fanfiction for 3 fandoms, and then 2 fanfictions for 2 fandoms, and then 3 fanfictions for 2 fandoms, and then there's Chainsaw Man, you've written 11 fanfictions for. What is it about Chainsaw Man that makes it different or makes it stand out from the other fandoms and has made you want to stay so long in this space?
That's an excellent question. Well, like I said, I'm a very character-driven sort of person. I think in my fanfictions and in my original writing, that is the building block. That is the cornerstone. We need this. We need this to survive. But yeah, Chainsaw Man, I just, honestly, not even so much the anime, but I think the manga is just such a triumph, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The artwork is fantastic, very detailed. The storyline is amazing. The composition is, I think, really unique and dynamic and effective in terms of visual and, I guess, verbal storytelling. I don't know if that's the word, but textual and visual storytelling just works together very efficiently and harmoniously. Mm-hmm. That really attracted me to this manga. And I think the characters are so dynamic, so layered, just very flawed, but still very likable, and you can attach yourself to them. So I became very interested in this. I started writing these fanfictions. Those were the first fanfictions that I got that garnered some sort of interest, honestly. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm very flattered by your usage of the word fame. I don't know if I would necessarily apply that to myself, but those were the first and kind of the only, to be honest, fan fictions that I've put out that had this other level of engagement. Mm-hmm. So that also kind of spurred me on, because I am somebody that's very driven by the community aspect of fandom. Mm-hmm. I also, as I was writing A Love Song in an Empty Room, which is my most popular fan fiction that I have and the one that people seem to care about the most, which is still very, very flattering and honoring to me. But as I was writing that, I started a Discord that garnered a lot of more interest than I thought, actually. So some of my really good friends now, we've been friends for years because they joined this Discord and we all started, you know, talking, and those are friendships that I really value. You know, one person from the group whom I've gotten to meet, which was fantastic. So just those relationships have been really incredible and have had an impact on my life by having that community. So mm-hmm. I think that also spurs me on to keep writing for that. I guess that would be my sort of long-winded answer to that question. Yeah. But that is crazy. Hearing that read out loud is literally like a rap sheet. Like, we're in court.
You're like three counts of infinity, one count of Full Metal Alchemist. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
It's really funny to me because I feel like me as like a fanfiction author, like I keep like kind of track on like, you know, what I'm writing for and if I'm, oh, I like, because I generally like to write fanfiction for like one ship or one character and like that be their story in my heart.
Yeah.
And like my writing universe almost is like, this is the character for that story and they're not going to be involved in any more stories. But it's interesting to me when I, because this is not the first time it has happened where I'm just like, you have written a lot of this trope of fanfiction or this AU of fanfiction or this like this fandom you've written a lot for, and they're just like, I've never thought about it that way before, but holy shit.
I know, yeah, this is really making me ponder my life decisions right now. Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, do you expect to still stay in the Chainsaw Man fandom for quite some time, or are you thinking that maybe you've run the gambit of all the fanfiction that you can and want to write for Chainsaw Man and want to move on to a new anime?
Good question. So as I've gotten older again, I've really slowed down on the production. It's bad, but you know, that's life. I feel like that happens to everyone. Mm-hmm. But like I said, graduated college now, so have some sort of a job, I suppose. Just with like working and graduating and stuff, you get busy. It's hard to mm-hmm. have the same output that maybe I did when I was a freshman or sophomore in college. So I definitely slowed down, but I do have kind of a work in progress that I would like to finish. I keep chipping away at it. I'm wicked slow, but I keep chipping away at it, and I'm hoping that I'll get to finish that. So probably that. And then I try to prioritize my original works because I do have several, like, kind of full-length works of original fiction that I don't share with anyone just because it is kind of a passion project of mine, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it is my dream, or has been ever since I was little, to be an author, like to be a published author.
Yeah.
But I know in my heart of hearts that I never would have had the courage and the confidence in myself to begin writing original fiction and mm-hmm. step towards that goal had I not been a fan fiction author first. So that's something I will always be very grateful and kind of indebted to be honest, the larger community.
Yeah.
I hope to keep working on that. I think I struggle a lot with, like you said, I don't believe in the chase for the striving for perfection. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in that. I think it's pointless and fruitless and all that. But I feel that I can get in my own head a little bit when I'm trying mm-hmm. to write stuff, because I feel like I have these grand ideas in my head, and I also just read so much that I have an appreciation for like great literature, and I do strive to also produce that. And I feel like what I actually produce is just not on par with what I consume. Obviously, I mean, I'm not a professional or anything, but things that I consume and the ideas that I rationalize in my head, and then when I try to kind of convey that to the page, it's not that I think it's bad at all, but it's more that mm-hmm. I feel like there's sort of a disconnect between what I produce and what I want to produce, which mm-hmm. I need to work on that, because then I just get a little frustrated and I feel like I'm stuck and I don't know where to go from there. But that's such a dumb way of spending my energy. So I need to work on that with myself, because I feel like that prevents me also from creating all that I can. But fanfiction is still a great outlet for that. So I do see myself continuing, if at a slower pace than my heyday, you know, my prime back in the day.
No, I understand. I mean, I think every fanfiction author has their, like, ebbs and flows. I mean, even fanfiction authors that I have followed for years, like, there will be long stretches of time where I, like, never hear from them. And then suddenly we'll get, like, that AO3 email where it's like, they're back!
But then it's the update. It's like, sorry, guys, my house burned down with my laptop.
No, literally. Yeah, or even, like, there was a person that I followed for a really long time who worked on a very long multi-chapter fic.
Yeah.
Like, I think around, like, 250,000 words or something like that.
Oh, goodness.
And when she finally finished it, she, like, took a very long hiatus, like, a long break. And, like, as she deserves, because she just put, like, her blood, sweat, and tears into this fan fiction for years. And then, like, when she finally came back, it was for a completely different fandom. And, like, one that I didn't know, but I was like, I'm so glad that you're back. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you're writing.
That's awesome. That's the power of literature, you know, and media.
And, like, for fan fiction authors who, like, want to be, I will always be their number one supporter. Sure. It makes my heart so happy every single time I hear about, like, a fan fiction becoming published literature, or like a fanfiction author, like somebody who has, like, a debut novel out and they're doing interviews and they're just like, fanfiction. I'm just like, suddenly I'm your best friend.
Sure.
You know, we had, like, just gotten news within the past month that Manacled, which is like a giant Harry Potter, Draco Malfoy, Hermione Granger, like, incredibly popular, like, blew up on TikTok, kind of popular, is going to be taken down to be reworked to publish literature.
Interesting. What is it?
It's called Manacled.
Okay, I don't read Harry Potter fanfiction. So sorry, I'm like, I don't know what this is. Manacled?
You don't, I never expect anyone to know as much about fanfiction as I do at any given moment. So that's like, okay. But when I heard that news, even though I never had the intention of reading Manacled, I knew this was popular. We had gotten recommended it before by another guest. And I was just like, I see you guys. And I'm so glad that you are having fun over there. But I don't want it. Uh-huh. But now that it is being published, first of all, I'm going to be waiting on the sidelines, waiting for that published release date to celebrate it. And then I'll purchase it, even though I'm never going to read it, just because, like, I just want to support fan fiction authors, like, living their dreams as much as possible. They're the kindest people I have ever had the honor of meeting online virtually. Yeah. And I am also very deeply in the, like, published literature, like BookTube, book, like, Instagram, like, those kind of things. I just love literature in any way that I can get it. Uh-huh. And the way that, like, sometimes people talk about, like, when they find out it's published fan fiction and then they, like, no longer want to read it makes my heart really sad. And it's happened before where, like, I'm watching someone on BookTube and they're like, oh, unhauling. I love watching unhaul videos. But as I'm, like, watching some of these videos, sometimes people will be like, oh, I'm giving away, like, The Hurricane Wars. That's, like, a recent last year published. It's a Raylo fan fiction that's been reworked and published. But it's, like, everyone loves it. It was so hyped. The fans of it were so excited for it to come out as, like, published literature. And then people who read normal fantasy literature, like, saw it was coming out, purchased it. And then some of them, like, learned that it was Raylo fan fiction and just, like, changed their tune, which is kind of what happened for The Love Hypothesis, which is also a Raylo fan fiction, where people, like, loved it and then found out it was Raylo fan fiction and changed their tune, which makes me, like, so unnecessarily sad for just, like, the people who write them, because I'm like, come on, guys.
I don't know if I have that strong of an opinion on it, just because I'm so uninvolved in the Raylo world, and I think most of them tend to be Raylo. I don't know why. I don't know if there's some sort of correlation there. I've never seen a single movie of Star Wars, I'll be honest, so I can't really engage too heavily with that, but I feel like, there's been a lot of Raylo fan fictions that have been worked into original content, and I guess I sort of see both sides of it, I suppose. I see why people want to keep the world separate, because I do think that fan fiction sort of emerged as a counterculture to traditional publishing, which can be, you know, exclusionary and can be, it, you know, not everyone can attain that, obviously, so it's kind of like giving up a platform to the masses and whatever, and I see why some people take solace in that, and the liberation and the freedom that comes afforded with that. So I see why people want to separate that, but I mean, I don't really see why it's worth getting my panties in a bunch about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to other fanfiction authors who, like, also want to publish their own things, and, you know, they wouldn't necessarily do, what's it called, like, scratching off the barcode.
Yeah, filing the serial numbers.
Filing the serial numbers off, thank you.
Yeah.
like, turning their fanfiction into published literature, they're, like, in their minds, like, you know, that is their fanfiction versus their original works. But, I mean, like, I have no qualms about, you know, Manacled being turning into published literature the same way that, like, The Hurricane Wars became published literature, or a fanfiction author just completely writing something original and new and publishing it. This is basically my long-winded way of saying, like, if you ever publish anything, let me know, and I will be your first purchase.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
that. Just because I always want to be, like, the first supporter of any fanfiction author, like, living out their dream of publishing actual works of art. In kind of going back to that after my long-winded tangent of publishing fanfiction, and we had a previous email correspondence that you mentioned that writing fanfiction has introduced you to a community, helping you form stronger identity, gain confidence. Is that kind of what you mentioned before about, like, gaining confidence into writing your own original fiction, or the friends that you met in your Discord? You know, is that kind of, you know, the deeper, basically, like, I'm asking you to, like, delve deeper into, like, you know, how fanfiction has, like, grown your skills, meet friends, gave you confidence, and may I say changed your life?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It definitely has had a big impact on my life, because I always had that kind of dream of writing as something I wanted to do really badly. I was always really interested in it. I was always kind of writing little things, but I had some sort of mental block in which I couldn't make myself put all the elements together to make a cohesive story. And yeah, I felt resigned, and I felt frustrated because I felt like I had, like I said, this creative tendency that I just couldn't materialize, which was very frustrating to me. And I believe that everyone does. I think it's healthy for every single person to have some sort of creative outlet. I think everyone needs it, because I think otherwise, yeah, you're just keeping everything inside that could be something amazing. So I think I longed for that. So once I started writing fan fictions, you know, I started, probably the first things I started were just little drabbles or something, definitely things under 10K. Absolutely nothing wrong with that, obviously. But, you know, I had to work my way up to writing longer works. And then I, you know, was able to do so, kind of put everything together. And I was like, oh, I actually can do this. Like, this is actually within my capabilities. And that was a really empowering sort of realization to come to. So once I completed my first, I guess you could say, like, a full-length fan fiction, I sort of transitioned over to writing some original work. And then I had a couple of those where I got to what would be a manuscript length in my original fiction. So that has brought me a lot of confidence, and that has capability. It can be realized. It doesn't have to be sort of dormant. And honestly, just interacting with comments and things like that, it's probably a little bit vain and narcissistic of me.
No, but I mean, everyone loves them. Like, I don't think, like, if you're vain and narcissistic, so am I, and so is everyone else. Because it's like, I mean, everyone says that they love reading comments, you know, they love getting feedback. I mean, it's just more about the community and, like, coming together with people who also love the things that you love.
Exactly, yeah. So that, and then also, you know, I've been a huge reader for all my life, as I'm sure probably everyone else is that's listening to this or has written fan fiction. But I've always been a really big reader, and the reason why I enjoyed that so much is I loved the feeling that you get from being seen by a piece of work, even if the author is so far removed from you. Maybe they are from a different country, maybe they wrote this book in a totally different language, but even after going through all those layers, the core message there just resonates deeply with you, and I think that's just so magical and powerful. I think that's just the most powerful, you know, force that you can experience, which is so beautiful to me. So that was why I sort of fell in love with that, and that's why it means so much to me when I get comments from people telling me that something I wrote had an impact on them or resonated with them or made them feel less alone or made them laugh or cry or anything like that. That's just so honestly humbling to think that something I wrote has the capability to reach that many people. And, you know, on AO3, it's like people who are different ages than me, different countries, different nationalities, different gender, whatever, whatever. It's just transcendent to all of those external or societal divisions that we perceive. Mm-hmm. And that is honestly something that keeps me going. It keeps me motivated just in my day-to-day, even outside of fan fiction. So again, that was a very long-winded kind of rambling answer.
No, yeah.
But I hope that clarified what I mean by that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just really, it's just an excuse almost to talk about just like the way that fan fiction is helpful, like in the long run, because again, I feel like there's so many arguments of to like how fan fiction can almost like be a hindrance into like a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But I always, I mean, for the reason that I even have guests on in the first place, it's just like these are real people who have gotten like real life benefits out of fan fiction, and you know, not even in like the writing sense, but as you said, you've made like friends through like the Discord, like you've made like actual friendships and like relationships through fan fiction and fandom.
Yeah,
100%. Which I always love talking about, because I mean, fandom friends are the best kind of friends.
of course. Yeah, I'm very grateful for the people and the friends that I've met. Like I said, one of my friends, we've been able to actually meet a couple times, which is really amazing. And yeah, I feel like these are people that I've formed a strong bond with outside of fan fiction. So that's really awesome. That just makes me happy.
Yeah. So we will kind of like go into like more of your fan fiction writing style and the things that you like to write in your own fan fiction, now that we've kind of talked about like just, you know, what fan fiction kind of like means to you and has done for you. So when you do write fan fiction, are you a planner or are you a pantser? Do you typically plan out a fan fiction before writing it, or do you just start writing it? Do you just hit the floor running?
Maybe somewhere a little in between. I feel like I start with the general idea, or I mean, fan fictions usually sort of revolve around some kind of AU or trope or something like that. But I feel like I have that, and then I usually make kind of a rough outline of where I want it to go. I usually do like, okay, you know, this chapter, they're going to talk about X, Y, and Z. But I sort of leave room for myself to explore if some idea sort of comes up as I'm writing it, or if I want to change things around, add something, take something away. There is room to play with it. But I do like to have some sort of rough structure, because I feel like otherwise I'm just looking at a blank piece of paper and the gears are spinning and I'm stressed out because I don't know what to do. But yeah, in my original work, I feel like I also am trying to find a method that works best for me. I have tried so many things. I have tried the, whatever they call it, save the cat method, and I've tried whatever method I can find online that people say is gonna change your life and make your writing amazing. And you know, sometimes you have to come to the tough realization that there really isn't one. So I kind of have to mess around and see what works best for me. But yeah, in my original writing, I think I am trying to embrace the pants more. Because I think, like I said, I feel a little bit stressed out sometimes, and I'm like, oh geez, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. Where am I going? It's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna come back around to make sense at the end. And sometimes it's just like, hey, like, chill out for a second. It'll work out. Like, the whole point of this is to explore things and let your imagination develop and all those wonderful things, and let the creative juices just, you know, flow into everything. So I have to embrace that a little bit more. Embrace the abstract.
Yeah. There's definitely a happy medium. And I'm really glad that you say that, like, there's a lot of things that a lot of people say, you follow this method or that method, and sometimes they just, none of those methods work. Yeah. You have to, like, kind of find your own method. And I mean, definitely finding that middle ground, I think, is so difficult. It and is. Like, such, like, because I'm like a certified like pantser, like I'm always just writing without a plan in the world. Yep. And then I get to a point where I'm just like, I've run out of plan.
Right.
I've run out of like just adrenaline that I was working off of before, and now there's nothing but just empty road in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm also afraid of becoming almost like what I was in like middle school and high school with writing some works, that like I planned too much. Mm-hmm. And like the planning almost took precedent over the actual writing.
Yeah, it's restrictive.
Yes. Or even just like trying to absolutely fit in, like, well, this was the plan. And it's like, well, as you said, chill out. The plan doesn't need to be perfect.
Literally. Like, it, also, it's fan fiction. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you mentioned some AUs, and this is like almost like a 3-4-part question that I had just put together about AUs. So while I was going through your AO3, I noticed that you really like writing in a modern day college or high school AU.
I sure do.
Especially for fantasy animes like Chainsaw Man, Fullmetal Alchemist, where there's like, it's not modern day, and then you throw them in a modern day setting. And there are many AUs to choose from, but you keep going back to like these certain, you know, modern day college, high school. So what is it about these AUs that makes you kind of keep coming back to them rather than kind of exploring a new alternate universe?
Yeah, honestly, I think the sort of best answer to that question is sort of what I've mentioned with the characters, which are what I focus on the most. And if I really fall in love with a character and I feel like they have a lot of depth that can be dissected and rearranged, then the setting is kind of extraneous to me. So I feel like the core of the source material is the character. So if I can kind of just plop them out and plop them into a more regular setting, it leaves a little bit more room for me to...
Sure.
And also I like the experience of imagining what things would be like. It's easier to relate it to me as a person because, the vast majority of this fan fiction was written when I was in college. So I think it was just easy to relate that to my life or what I was doing at the time. Yeah. I see sort of a little bit of a, I don't want to say a gap in the market because there really is none when you're talking about something as large as fan fiction. But like I said, with anime, I feel like as I get older, it can be more difficult to find anime that I can relate to at the time in my life that I'm at, just because shonen is usually high school. Even outside of shonen, honestly, I feel like everything's kind of high school, which is
right,
cool.
Yeah.
But, and you know what? I might go so far as to say even outside of anime, I feel like a young adult, like a college age demographic is underrepresented in media.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's also a very tumultuous, dramatic, very complex time.
Absolutely.
So I also just like to sort of bring more light to that, I suppose.
Yeah, I love that. I will say that you also have 2 zombie apocalypse AUs, which I think is so fascinating.
I do.
Especially in comparison to the pretty mundane college AUs.
This is like a deep dive into my personal psyche. I mean, I have a very specific reasons for why I enjoy zombie AUs so much. I don't know if I should go into that. But.
Well, I was just because whenever I go into these, I like kind of do a slight deep dive.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I don't have all the time in the world to like read every single fan fiction.
Of course.
But like, you know, looking at fandoms and tags and, you know, ratings and all the things that I can, ships and fandom dynamics and everything. And so when I was going through those, like, I was just like, oh, there's 1, 2, 3, like, modern day college, high school AUs. And then I was like, oh, and then there's 2 zombie AUs, which is not odd, but, you know, there's 2 of them, which seems 2 more than... Because, you know, for the most part, maybe it'd be, like, 1 zombie AU, and then moving along to, like, a fantasy AU, and then, like, a coffee shop AU.
Of course.
But it is very fascinating in comparison to your high school, college AUs, and then, like, right next to it is, like, Running for Our Lives zombie AU.
Oh, of course. I mean, okay, so I have a very large interest in zombies, apocalypse, anything like that. That's always been something that I really loved. I read a lot about that. I watch a lot of movies and shows and things about that. And I honestly would say that's why I enjoy Attack on Titan so much, because it's not so much about the zombies themselves, but for me it's about the collapse of society, right? Mm. Because once those sort of external institutions and the social mores and the expectations and the pressure and the interpersonal relationships that we all feel the need to perform to be a part of, once that all gets stripped away, the only thing it leaves you with is yourself and your mind and your psyche and the inner desires and feelings that you put a face over or that you don't share with people. Those all come to the surface because there's nowhere else for them to go, or there's nothing else left. So that has always been psychologically fascinating to me. I absolutely love engaging with any type of media that sort of, you know, explores that theme. And I actually got really into zombies and apocalypse and, you know, plagues and pandemics around COVID-19. Once COVID started, I was just reading so much apocalyptic literature, watching so many zombie things, whatever. Yeah. It was a little bit morbid, but I also found it, I found it empowering because I felt like during COVID, I felt like that was the closest that we have come to that sort of thing. And even though it was a very small scale disaster in the grand scheme of things, you know, zombies weren't running around eating our brains on the streets or anything like that. But even still, I feel like the widespread trauma of it was so significant. And I do feel that it really heavily affected our social interactions. And to this day, I feel like it does. I think that people have a lot less trust for each other than they did before. I think things just aren't the same because now the precedent has been set that something like that could happen at any time that just brings all of our, you know, societal things to a halt that we think are so important, you know. And yeah, just all that kind of superfluous stuff just gets stripped away, and then it's, and then all that's left is people and characters and interactions. And that to me is just chef's kiss. Like I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, you're like, it all comes back to the characters at the end of the day.
It really does. And you know, how we treat each other and how we think about each other. And it's basically a more widespread application of the concept of, you know, who you are when no one's looking.
So you have these two AUs that you have written for, but is there an AU maybe out there or a trope that you have yet to try your hand at that you really want to? And then there's a flip side of the question that is there an AU or a trope that you would never touch, you would never write about?
That's a really, really good question. I guess I would have to think about that. I feel like there are a lot of AUs and tropes that I haven't gotten to and probably never will because, you know, I'm only one person over here. Now I'm trying to, like, remember what
AUs are. I mean, so there's, like, good old coffee shop. There's, like, Florence tattoo shop, you know, fantasy AU, like maybe office. Gosh, I'm like trying to think. There's
like a fake dating or something like that.
Okay. You've slightly written a fake dating one for Infinity.
I have, but honestly, that wouldn't be my answer. My better answer would probably be either something a little bit more fantastical, because like you said, I do gravitate towards the realism.
Yeah.
Which It's you know, fine and good, but I think it would be interesting if I had the creative capacity. And that's kind of what I'm doing with the fic that I'm working on right now, because it is a zombie apocalypse, but it also, the setting sort of ties into the Chainsaw Man setting of devils and curses and magic and things like that. I still have to kind of develop that as the story goes on, but I'm trying to kind of push myself to try something a little bit new with that. Yeah. So I would either say something a little bit more fantastical or social media AU.
Oh, I love a social media AU.
I do too. Yes, it's just a little bit meta because it's a huge part of all of our daily lives. Obviously, if you're on the internet reading fan fiction, I mean, everyone partakes in social media heavily.
Yeah, I love a social media or like an actor AU, where like the meta of like it's actually like a television show, and they're all actors working on the television show.
I think it's a creative lens for kind of a more standard fix-it fic. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That would definitely be my answer. Other than that, something I would never do. Honestly, probably like most things, just because my brain is small, and I want to be the kind of person that comes up with these really fantastical settings and different AUs and stuff, and it's like, oh yeah, let's do like a medieval fantasy AU.
Sure.
But I feel like that's probably not something I would ever do.
Right. You're like, do I have the capacity for it? Maybe not.
Right. Because then it's like you go into historical research and the anachronisms or whatever And no, I feel like I just don't have the neurological capacity for that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's even having it in the canon world where it's just kind of canon divergence almost, you already have like the world built out for you, right? Like it's just a world that you're playing in that's, you know, already been set up for you and it's fun. Or even like a modern day one where you write in, like you live in the modern day all the time. Like it's very easy for you to just pull from your daily life, as you said. So, but for, if you are writing like a fantasy AU or a sci-fi AU, like you almost have to build your own world there a little bit.
Maybe I'm just a little too lazy. Maybe that's the problem.
No, not at all. I think there's like, especially when it comes to fan fiction, I said it's like a hobby. So it's like, why should I put myself through something that I don't want to do when there's so many other fantasy AUs that are just ready for the reading and they're just already so perfect. And you're just like, go to them if you want to read that. If you want to read a sweet little college AU, come over here.
Exactly. Yep. If you, whatever this is, honestly, I don't know. I want to be, in my mind, I really want to be like a literary fan fiction author, but probably not. I feel like this is kind of just a train wreck of what comes out of my fingers and brain, and then I don't edit it, and then I just post it.
Hey, man, that's okay. Like I said before, you do take characters from a fantastical world a la Chainsaw Man, Full Metal Alchemist.
Yes.
And you put them in a modern setting, but since, you know, you're doing like the zombie apocalypse situation, would you ever consider like doing the opposite where it's like you take characters from Skate the Infinity or Haikyuu that are in the modern day and put them in the fantastical world of, say, like a zombie apocalypse?
Interesting. I have never engaged in sort of a crossover fan fiction. Because I feel like my brain just has an error code in trying to do that. But that would be interesting. That would be interesting to explore. I feel like my wires would probably get a little bit crossed. But that would be interesting to explore. I guess I've just never really considered that, honestly. I should, though.
I mean, I just thought about it where you're just like, oh, I'm kind of playing in the fantastical world now with this zombie apocalypse AU that you're writing. And, you know, you tend to, you know, put fantastical characters in a mundane modern setting. So would you do the opposite? So I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And it honestly has just never come to my mind before.
Yeah.
For some reason, it feels different than the reverse.
I mean, that's fair. You know, there's only so much that one person can do. And it's just, I'm tired.
I want to go to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, even I have a pretty hard time. All the fanfiction that I have written and published on AO3 has either been like canon divergence, so it's like already just in the world. No, I think all of them are like that. Even the Haikyuu one that I'm writing, like it's just in the modern day, which Haikyuu is in the modern day. It's just like in the future. So I can totally understand, because I'm also just not a person that like likes to separate characters from the world that they already live in, even though like it's a fun idea to put like, you know, Edward Elric in the modern day setting, but I'm like, but he's from Full Metal Alchemist world,
right? Like he doesn't belong there.
What are you talking about?
Right.
So in your journey of writing either fan fiction or your original works, what has been the best writing advice that you've come across?
Chill out.
I love it.
Don't stress so much. I honestly think that's the most valuable. And know your characters, obviously. But once you know your characters, I think the other things, it will spark, the inspiration for the other things.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. Just so simple. Chill. Just chill.
Chill. Just chill, chill. Honestly. It's not that deep.
And then we have come to the final two questions that I have for you. We have a YN's choice, a Lavender's choice. Of the fics that you have written, which is your favorite and why?
Oh my god. Okay. Well, Love Song in an Empty Room is kind of like a classic banger. I like the one that I'm working on right now. It's called Show Me Where It Hurts. It's a zombie apocalypse AU. And I actually think it's kind of cooking. I think it's starting to heat up.
There you go.
So either that or I'm gonna pick a deep cut.
Okay.
I don't even remember what it's called. Let me find what it's called because I don't remember what it's called. But I was like, hang on, I kinda cooked a little bit. Okay, it's called In the Basement of My Brain by Lavender Hatchet 13. And it's kind of like I was trying to do a character study, like a hurt comfort kind of past trauma character study thing. And I think it kind of clicked a little bit.
Yeah.
So I would say those are like my three favorite fan fictions.
No, I love. I mean, I just love when anybody says it's really just like pointing a gun at someone and being like, choose your favorite child.
I know. I was like,
which is kind of, I've named it a little bit after Sophie's Choice with the YN's Choice.
Exactly.
Where it's just like, choose your favorite child. And as much as I really do enjoy, because like, obviously the work that you've gotten the most attention for, like, has a special place in your heart, right? Because it's just like, that's, you know, that's everyone's favorite child almost in a sense. But
the most successful one, you know?
The most successful one. How could you not love it? but I really do enjoy people who are like, so this is a deep cut from like 2012 and like nobody read it and da 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 da.
Yeah, no one did, but I liked it. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say like the quality of writing definitely increases exponentially. So if you want to read something that's more technically skilled, then read the most recent one. But other than that, if you're just here for a good time, take a jaunt down memory lane.
Yeah, there's plenty of fandoms down there. You'll find something you like.
Exactly.
Okay, and then our very final question is, what are your favorite fics or the fics that you would recommend the most?
Yep. So I thought about this last night because I feel like I read fan fictions and I'm like, oh my God, that was life changing. And then I never bookmark it and it just goes back into the ether. It's so bad. It's so hellacious.
That really does sound like you started on Tumblr though, because that's how Tumblr works.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? It's not even my fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Responsibility.
You were conditioned by Tumblr.
Exactly. Okay. So let me make sure I got all the authors' names right. I want to look at it so I don't, screw anything up. All right, so this one goes out to my sister. She's probably like the only one's gonna listen to me talk, but this is one that me and her got into a while ago. It's called Droplets by The Prophet Lemonade.
Ooh.
It is 500,000 words long, and it is a Jean from Attack on Titan and Marco fic where Marco was like the pool boy to Jean's house, and his family is really rich, and it's kind of a really silly concept, but the character dynamics are to me very effective, and the relationship is just really sweet. Mm-hmm. Obviously it's the slowest of slow burns,
right?
But I think that just a little bit is kind of sprinkled every time, and then the dynamics and the conflicts with the other characters sort of in a more secondary sphere are also really satisfying, and everything kind of just works together for me pretty effectively to make the piece moving. So that was one that I really enjoyed. I will say it's actually not the person never finished it. It's like 500,000 words.
Oh, shut up. That's so funny.
It's actually, I was like, I can't believe we made it to the end and then it's not even done. But you know what? You never know. Honestly, that was in 2017. So you really never know when someone could pop back up.
There are so many stories of like, I waited a decade and then finally I get like the AO3 notification that it's been updated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anything can happen on AO3.
If
honestly,
you subscribe
to my
fix, that definitely happens to you. God knows I'm all over the place.
You're like from experience. Yes.
Yes.
Agreed. No. No, that sounds fascinating. We need more pool boy AUs. That's such a fun concept.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting AU. Right.
I've never seen or read or heard of pool boy
Me
AU,
neither.
And that's so fascinating.
It is. It's an interesting kind of inherent like class dynamic and all that stuff, so it kind of gets into all that, which is kind of cool, and that's also just kind of silly and cute, but I do think it has more depth and layers and complexity to it, which is why I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then if I can pick a one shot, this is just like a 2,000 word one shot, but it kind of comes back to me. I think about it every so often. It's called Only Human by Cabins, and it is a Jujutsu Kaisen, Megumi, and Itadori. It's honestly just like them kind of having conversation about what their lives are going to be like in the future for 2,000 words, but it's very effectively written for me. Like, the prose is clean enough to keep the progression moving along really smoothly, which I think is a good skill. And then it's very, to me, atmospheric. The imagery is very effective. It just gives off a very bittersweet tone underlying the whole conversation, but the interaction and the dialogue is also very heartfelt. I think it differs from other fics for me in that It's literally just that. It's not like any sort of really dramatic love confession or kissing mm-hmm. or, you know, anything like that. You don't even really see what happens after that. But it's just about that one specific moment in time, which I think is also why I enjoy literature and poetry mm-hmm. specifically so much, is that it has the capacity to pinpoint, yeah, a very, very specific moment and just blow it up and dissect all the little parts of it to make it feel real.
Yeah.
So that is what I would say about that.
I mean, from everything that I've learned about you in the past hour, that checks out
completely. Right, exactly.
It's like a little character moment.
Exactly. You know what? I'm so predictable and I'm such an open book, and it's really cliche. Like, if you look at the things that I read, like my Goodreads history, it's uh-huh. it's so just predictable, just same thing. It's not hard to guess at all.
I love that in a person, though. I'm also just an open book. Just read whatever you want. I'm just here for whoever and whatever, and there's nothing hidden about me, and I'm always just
nope. Love that, though.
I am what you see, you know.
Yep, exactly.
Thank you for being here. I had such a fun time talking to you this past hour. Thank you so much for taking time. I know that, like, our February has been, like, crazy busy. Mm. There was sickness. There was da-da-da-da-da-da. And I appreciate you being, like, really flexible and, like, willing to schedule, like, really last minute with me today.
No problem.
Is there anything that you would like to promote to close out the episode? Your AO3, any social medias, anything at all?
I would. First, I just want to say thank you so much, Sydney. It was lovely to meet you. You're an excellent interviewer, and I really appreciate that. Of course, yeah, you definitely have a very good orator skills, which is awesome, and you're just lovely to talk to as well, so thank you so much. Yeah, I would like to promote. So my AO3 is Lavender Hatchet 13. Please come hang, read my fix. I believe mm-hmm. my Discord is Lavender Hatchet. Let me triple check. But in the meantime, my Twitter is Lavender Hatch 13. I don't use it that much, so please come hit me up either on AO3 or on my Discord, which I'm gonna triple check to make sure I say the right one. It's just Lavender Hatchet, the two words. Yeah, please, if you're listening to this is like the most platform I've probably ever been on. So if you did listen to this and like have some sort of opinion, I would actually love to hear about it. So yeah, hit me up, Discord Lavender Hatchet, and then AO3 Lavender Hatchet Lavender Hatchet 13. Yeah, I'm gonna try to be more active on AO3.